Good morning, everyone, and welcome in again to Long Meadow Church of the Brethren. I'm not going to do the great, big, long, drawn-out story as to why we're here, because as I am told when we record for YouTube, I only have 30 minutes to speak, and I've got an hour's worth of sermon. So we're going to start and just get right into it. And I want to welcome you all in this morning and remind you that a church is four walls, stone, and wood. The church is you. With that being said, I always have to open with a joke because I believe in the power of humor. And I'm a big Jerry Clower fan brought on to me by my father, Paul Leatherman. I know who Jerry Clower is. My dad took me to see him back in the 70s. And in these days of the COVID-19 or the coronavirus, he told a story that I thought was funny and would fit the situation. See, Jerry Clower started his life out when he got out of college and out of the military, he became a fertilizer salesman. And one day, he had called on a farm down in Mississippi somewhere. And as he come up the driveway and he got out and was talking to the farmer, he happened to notice that his wife and a couple women from the community was sitting out in the yard shelling peas. That was a big thing he did. And back then, all them women chewed tobacco. It was normal. And he got the hankering for a drink from the well, and the women were sitting there, and he had noticed the tobacco juice on their blouse and down on their chin and whatnot, and he asked about getting a drink, and they said, "We've got a spoon that hangs right there. We'll dip you up a bucket, and you just drink from the spoon." He didn't think much of that because he figured they'd been drinking on it with eating that tobacco and everything, but he went over. They drawed him up a bucket full of water, and he got the spoon, and just before he was about to dip it, he happened to notice that the handle was hollow and there was a hole in the top of the handle. He said to himself, "Well, I'll get around this. I'll just tip that thing up and let it run down the handle and drink it right out the top, and I won't offend anybody and everybody will be happy." And they drawed him up the bucket of water and he dipped it out and he tipped the thing up and he started drinking. And Jerry says as he was drinking it, he heard one of the women poke the other woman and say, "See? He drinks from that handle just like I do, Bessie." But good morning. Our scripture today comes from Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. For the sermon that we will title today, Up Next. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. Jesus speaking. "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add one single hour to your life? Why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of those. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we do?' Or 'What shall we drink?' Or 'What shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Verse 34, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." May God add his blessings to these passages as we join with him. Would you please join with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the words that will come forward here this morning. They belong to you, not me. They are for us to learn, to grow, and be brought out. Father, we ask that you bless those that are listening to this message. We're thankful for those that are working here within the church to get it out. And there are many in pain. We pray for the sick and the distressed, and for those that are facing trouble in life. And we pray that these words today will inspire to remind us that through Jesus Christ, your Son, we have everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There is an old saying that goes like this. Why worry when you can trust? It is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but you never get to go anywhere. So the sermon title is Up Next. Now, last Sunday, the sermon title was all about hope. So the next thing that we have to do is to watch ourselves with the worry that we're going through. It's funny that I find myself in a situation preaching on a topic that is ongoing with this virus. But the truth of the matter is, we need to be monitoring our worry. I want to tell you a story that set this sermon in motion. After last Sunday, I was trying to figure out how in the world I would move forward. What would I preach on? What would I do? Now, I know God will provide, but I worried about it. Because now we are in a different realm. In all of my days, I never thought I'd stand in an empty church and preach to a video camera. And somebody has been watching. Because while it may seem minor to most people, we had over 270 people this past week watch the sermon. So it tells me that people want to hear something. And so I had to think about, what was I going to do? What was I going to see? What was I going to be? What was I going to come out of it with? And the answer was simple. I just had to wait on God to provide it. And so this past Thursday, as I was driving home thinking about what I would do with the sermon, it was pouring down rain. Matter of fact, we had shut down work early that day. And I was driving home up 70 westbound, as I always do. And as I came up out of Frederick, there on that long pull at the bottom end of Braddock Mountain, the state has now put in a set of lights to light the pathway there. And I took notice in the pouring, blinding rain, in which the temperature was right around 45 degrees, that on three of those lights in succession sat great big old hawks, sitting there, watching the traffic go underneath of them, sitting there just watching the world, sitting there in the rain and the cold and the blow, and they could have cared less. They were watching for when the food would be provided. Now, as I took notice of it, I slowed down a little bit, and I got to thinking about my sermon. And I pulled over to the side of the road, and I looked at the last light where the hawk was setting. And I thought, I doubt very seriously, Mr. Hawk is sitting up there going, oh goodness, it's raining. There's a virus going around. Will I not be able to catch a mouse? Will I not be able to do anything? No, he just sat there in all his splendor and majesty, just watching, waiting, understanding that he would be provided for. We have a hawk that hovers around our farm, our yard up there, our little place in the world. And I have seen him from time to time do the exact same thing in a sunny day or a rainy day. Sit and wait and not worry. And oh, how much we can learn from watching that. And it got me to thinking. Up next in our video series, up next is for us to not worry. Now, there are those of you that are going to be sitting at home in front of your television set or your computer screen going, Paul, how in the world am I not supposed to worry? All this stuff is going on. Let me be clear. You're going to. But the thing is to pay attention to your worry. And that's what Jesus Christ is laying out. Jesus Christ is laying out the fact he doesn't want you to worry about the things that will be provided. He doesn't need you to worry about every little thing that comes down the pike. He needs you to remind yourself of what you have in Him. We're going to worry. It's our very nature as human beings. But before we start back into the Scripture, I want to point out that if anybody had the right to worry, if anyone had the need to worry, it would have been Jesus Christ Himself. If He would have stopped and thought and began to worry about what was about to happen to Him, it would have crippled Him. It would have stopped Him from moving, and perhaps we wouldn't have had the salvation we have. But instead, He sees His brothers, His sisters, those He loves in pain, and He begins to talk to them. Our Bible says, teaches about worry. Says, don't worry, but teaches about it, so that we have an understanding of it. Right out of the gate, He says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, or what you'll wear. Now, for the past couple weeks, all I've heard is jokes about toilet paper and paper towels and grocery stores and all kinds of stuff. And this past week, I went to the grocery store because we finally ran out of eggs. I was on my way home, and I went in the grocery store, and I told somebody what I was doing, and they laughed. They said, good luck. They said, all the grocery stores, you can't get anything in them. They're all empty. You'll never get nothing. Well, I walked in to the Wise in Frederick up off Old Camp Road, and immediately when you walk to the door and turn right was a big refrigerator full of milk and eggs. I said, all right. I went back and got a cart. I'm going to go shopping now. So I went back out and I got a cart and I came back in whistling and smiling, and I looked around the building and people looked like this. They stood around, and here was all this produce and wonderful greens and vegetables, and I got the milk. And as I was getting the milk, it said, limit 2 gallons per customer. So I got 1 gallon because we had 1 gallon at home. And I looked down at the eggs and they said, 1 egg per customer. And I couldn't help myself, and I turned around to the guy next to the counter, and I said, is that 1 egg or 1 carton? And he looked at me and said, huh? And I'm sure if I'd had my wife there, she'd have wrapped me a good shot. But I picked up a flat of 18 eggs, put them in my cart. I'm all happy with myself. Wife said, get bread. Everybody said, you ain't going to get no bread. I wheeled to the back of the store. There was bread. Now, granted, there was some of it was gone. I got English muffins, I got some wheat bread, and I got some white bread. And you could get up to 10 loaves. So I got what we needed, 8. And then as I was going back, I said, in this time of crisis, there's one thing that we definitely need to keep sanity. 2 words, ice cream. And I went back to there to look for the ice cream, and there was plenty of ice cream. And as I was walking by, I happened to notice there was more eggs, and there was multiple flats of eggs that had 30 eggs in them. So I exchanged out one, and I got a 30-egg flat. I got ice cream, and I got some other supplies, and I got crackers, and I walked out of the store, and I was happy. And it was the pinnacle of what we are talking about today. God provides. We may not always understand why the things go on around us or when they go on, the timing, but God provides. Jesus Christ knew that we were simply human, not righteous yet. We're not at that point yet where we can walk away from worry. So my message to you today is, I understand, Jesus understood, we will worry, but we need to remind ourselves what the worry can lead to or what we can do with it. And that's what he lays out. He talks about how everything in the world is taken care of. Back to the Scripture. Look at the birds of the sky. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet our Heavenly Father feeds them. The hawks setting on the light. He says, are you not much more valuable than they. Jesus is telling us that as beautiful and wonderful as everything is around us, us, you, me, brother, sister, all of us, in the sight of God, has value that we can never put measure on. Why do you worry about clothes? I never worry about clothes. To me, shopping's very easy. Same pair of pants I get all the time, the same kind of shirts. Go to Tractor Supply for bib overhauls, and I promise you out there watching, one Sunday I'm going to preach in bib overhauls out on video just to make everybody crazy. Why do you worry about clothes? My wife and I took a trip out to West Virginia yesterday to pick up a piece of equipment. And as we rode back, the sun was shining before we got back to Maryland. And out in the fields, we could see green daffodils. You could see the violets are out there in the field. Everything is starting to show up. And it was beautiful, and it was glorious. And Jesus goes on to say that even in his greatest splendor, the clothes that Solomon would have worn, he didn't match the beauty of a flower growing in a field. And yet, God, for his love for you, will clothe you with something that far outweighs that which will eventually be cut down, dried out, and burned. And that's a true statement. I was talking to my dad this week. It's about time to get after garden. And he said, well, the first thing we got to do is get down here and mow it off, gather it up and burn it off so we can get to the dirt. All this beauty from last year will now be burnt and put away so we can replant, sow, and reap. And all of that beauty, God has so much more in line for us. And through Jesus Christ, that glory is a mansion, a robe, a crown, and life everlasting. Now, you going to stop worrying today? No, you're not. And I swear, if you are sitting there looking at this thing right now, and you look at me and go, yeah, Paul, I'm going to quit worrying today. You just lied to me. Which means that next Sunday sermon is going to be about lying. But how do we handle it? Jesus says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. What a profound statement. We have a lot to worry about as human beings, don't we? We need to learn how to accept. We need to learn how to understand. A bassoon player came up to his conductor, Arturo Toscanini. Toscanini, the great conductor. And I encourage you, if you've never heard Toscanini's movements, get them, listen to them, and prepare yourself. He nervously said to him, I cannot reach the high E flat. I have tried. I have worked. I have changed the reeds. I have cleaned the instrument. I have oiled the valves. I have done everything. And today I cannot reach the high E flat. And Toscanini listened to him and he smiled and he replied and said, don't worry. There's no E flat in your music tonight. Many of our worries are like that, unfounded and unnecessary. Paul, writing to the church at Philippi in Philippians 4, said these words. Verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Look, let's run down the list, shall we? Health, that's the big one right now. Everybody's worried about it. Rightly so. We're experiencing something we've never seen before. Most of us have never seen before. There are a few who experienced the 1918 flu pandemic. But health, home, family, job. Every day, there's somebody out there that worries about their job. Will I be able to keep my job? Can I get out of this job? I'm trying for another job, and I was not successful. And I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm trying to keep my family together, and I'm not having the luck. I'm trying to make sure my home is safe. I'm trying to make sure that everything's taken care of. This is our world, and Jesus Christ knew it, and that's why He talked to us about it. He wants you to come back to Him. Seek ye first His kingdom. Seek the righteousness. Jerry Clower, I know I'm on that kick, but Jerry Clower, in his self-recording called Ain't God Good, said everybody ought to take a minute at some point occasionally and reflect on who they are and give back to God through prayer and let Him handle it. He's right. That's how we get past what tears us up inside at these times, is when we step back for a moment and we allow God to come back in. All right, look, Father, I can't handle this anymore. Everything's going wrong. Can you just please give me peace and help me through this? I don't know why I'm going through it. I don't know what's going on. But Father, the only one that can help me is You. Please, Father. And that's a prayer that I, Paul Nelson Leatherman III, pray. Now let's try not to get too down about it. Because possibly there's somebody out there having something worse than you. Maybe this will help you tell if it's going to be a rotten day or if you need to worry. I have a little list here. You wake up face down on the pavement, right? You call suicide prevention and they put you on hold. You show up at your office and you see a news team waiting at your front door. Your birthday cake collapses under the weight of the candles. You turn on the news when you get up in the morning and they're showing emergency routes out of the city. Your twin sister forgot your birthday. This is my favorite one. Your horn gets stuck on, blaring, accidentally goes off as you're stuck behind a group of the motorcycle gang, Pagan's Angels, going down the freeway. You come to work and your boss tells you, don't bother to take your coat off. The bird singing outside your window is a buzzer. You wake up and your braces are locked together. Wally, that's for you. You call your answering service and they tell you it's none of your business. Your income tax check bounces. You put both contact lenses in the same eye. Anyone ever done that? And finally, your wife says as you come down the stairs to go to work, good morning, Bill, but your name is George. We need to remind ourselves that in these days, in these current circumstances, in all things, our job, our family, our life, our friends, this virus that has put us into this situation, God is in control. Jesus Christ has given us what we need to understand it. And the thing about all of this is the beauty of this book. A lot of meat. A lot of times you find yourself going back to the same scripture over and over again because this is your instruction manual. This is what teaches you. This is what leads you. This is what comforts you, is to hear the word again and again and again and again and again and read the same old scriptures. How do I know that there is no real need to worry? John chapter 14, the first 7 verses, lay it out. Jesus Christ again. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go there and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you may also be where I am. Up next is the understanding that with hope and faith comes the realization that worry leads to nothing. And we need to be reminded that our Father has prepared for us and has given us. And one day, we're out. Our belief is based on the truth of Jesus Christ. Usually about this time, when the church is full of people, I start to wrap it up and lay out the altar call. And in these times, in these troubles, in these worries, I wanted to follow every sermon my belief, my concrete, unwavering, immovable belief that Jesus Christ, born of Mary, came from God, from heaven. That Jesus Christ has been with us since before time began. That Jesus Christ was born, walked this earth, started a ministry, and because of his truth, died on that tree. Died. He didn't go to sleep. He didn't lay down for a couple of hours. He died. He was beaten for our sins, and by his stripes we are healed. He died. And 3 days later, he broke the sting of death forever when he rose up and walked out of that tomb. And I believe it 100%. I believe that my faith in Jesus Christ, I believe that my answering to his call sets me apart from the world. Do I worry? Of course I do. Does it get to me sometimes? Of course it does. Does it mean that I've lost my way? No. It means I have to stop for a moment. I thank God sometimes for the worry because it pushes me back to him to do as Jesus said, to seek his righteousness, to seek him out in all things, and to ask him for the peace that I need. Brothers and sisters, if you don't know Jesus Christ, if you're watching this, if you don't know who he is, find someone. Get in touch with this church. I'll talk to you on the phone. Find someone and know who he is. Know who Jesus Christ is. Know that your soul is going to be saved. And as we continue to go through this torment, we are made stronger when we take our worry, give it back to him, and seek him in all things. My message today continues the message of last Sunday of hope. Up next is what happens when we worry. I just ask that you take it to him in prayer, that you seek him, and if you don't know Jesus Christ, if you don't understand that the day is coming, please find him. Reach out. He's there, he's ready, and he loves you with everything he has. May God watch over and keep you in these words. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you. I pray that if there are those out there that are hurting, that are struggling, that are worrying, Father, that you give them the peace, that you lift them up in all these things. I pray for those that are not able to communicate in the way we did with a shake of a hand and a hug and that love, but let us be still family. Through these times, lift us up and strengthen us, Father. And may we be eternally grateful and thankful for you. And now I ask that the blessings of heaven rest upon all of us, that you power us through this week. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Thank you, my Father. Amen. May God bless each and every one of you until we meet again.